Texas Podcast Massacre contains spoilers and adult language. For more horror, visit us at our website at texaspodcastmassacre.com.
Welcome to another episode of Texas Podcast Massacre, coming to you from Houston, Texas. I'm your host, Mitch, and with me, as always, are my fellow Manorgate participants, Lisa.
I don't even know what to say.
And Nate.
I'm going to eat a whole pie.
Jesus. I mean,
but what kind of pie?
I don't know, a spiky pie? I don't know.
Well, welcome to another episode of Texas Podcast Massacre, where each week we take a look at a different horror movie and debate a horror-related topic with our unsuspecting victim, who is usually someone we would not consider a horror fan. This week, we have brought back our buddy, Anthony, unsuspecting victim, to talk about The Hunt, which is the on-again, off-again, on-again movie satire, I guess horror satire, horror. I don't even know how you describe this. It's all over the place.
So they did want to cancel this at one point then. I'm remembering that.
They definitely shelved it after some school shootings.
And then they brought it back. Why?
Because the people would not be denied, Lisa.
Hey, Anthony, you can say hello anytime you want.
Yeah, just jump one in there.
I didn't want to interrupt this. This was magic.
This is good. I know. Right.
I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Welcome back, Anthony.
Thank you. 55 episodes later?
Yeah. Was that how many? God. It's been a while. Yeah. So we, I guess last time you were here, what movie did we look at?
Happy Death Day to you.
We talked about three movies you've been on. So yeah. So I kind of still in the horror comedy, dark comedy sort of realm here.
Yeah, definitely the comedy part. I like it. Keep me on that. After Strangers 2, just keep me on this type of movie moving forward.
Yeah. I don't know. It's like this, and there's another one I wanted to invite you on for VFW when we do that one. I don't know what
we're gonna do it. That movie's great.
It's like all the classic, like old 80s.
You would like that one a lot, Anthony.
The movie's called VFW.
Correct. Yes.
And it's from the 80s, and I've never heard of it.
It's from this year,
but it's like a almost like a retro 80s feature.
Interesting.
Yeah, and all those old vets are like fighting off people, drug fiended, like zombie-ish people.
Yeah.
I'm immediately intrigued.
I know. A lot of old dudes.
Sensei from the original Karate Kid is in it.
Yeah, George Wendt from Cheers is in it. Stephen Lang, the blind man villain from Don't Breathe, is in it. He's got an all-star cast here.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. And nobody's even heard of it. That's awesome.
Yeah. I think we actually, it was one of the few movies we didn't catch at Fantastic Fest, Nate. Although I did get to meet Sensei, and it was the greatest night of my life. Easily.
Wow, Lisa's right next to you, but hey, whatever.
I looked her right in the eye, too.
I'm used to it.
All right, well, good. Well, Anthony, great to have you back. Let's just go get right into this one with our debate question of the week.
Bid our father, the Sea King, rise from the depths full, foul in his fury, black waves teeming with salt foam. To smother this young mouth with pungent slime.
This is so, it's such an aggressive drop.
I love that this is part of our show. I love it so much.
You love it as much as I hate it.
We'll have to do a probably. Different whenever we actually review The Lighthouse, like legit, we'll have to do a different drop for the debate.
Why? Well,
we actually reviewed it. We did review The Lighthouse. So.
God, did we? I don't even remember what episodes we have done anymore. It's all
you know what? You know what? I'll re-review it because I don't think Lisa was there. So.
Oh,
no. Maybe that's what it was. I'm good. Yeah, no, thank you.
I'll go back. That's fine.
I've heard enough about that movie. I'm good.
Lisa, I don't know if you know this, but I have the Blu-ray. So,
Nate, I don't know if you know this, but I'm not shocked one bit.
When was the last time you heard somebody say that?
I have so many Blu-rays. I'll drop it off on your doorstep. This, I would classify that as essential. Getting the lighthouse to somebody easily within the parameters of an essential task, for sure.
Get Amanda to write you a letter that says it's okay.
Like Amanda conveys her, like, just
by the essential transitive property. Like, drop this Blu-ray off at someone's house. Yes.
That makes sense. All right, so in this movie, the folks that are, I mean, we're hunting the deadliest game here.
Most
people that are chosen to be hunted sort of all fit a particular lifestyle, I would say. And I think they're chosen because of things they've said online. One guy is a podcaster, so Nate, you and I are screwed.
No, our podcast has nothing... We've never said, I have a podcast. I've been exposing these people. We've never said that. I think we're safe. I think we're okay.
Yeah, until now. Now we have that soundbite.
I just quoted it verbatim.
Some people have just ranted online. So I guess my question is, you know, what's the thing you might have done to have gotten selected? You wake up and you have to reckon with something. So what do you think would have gotten you selected for this?
Nothing.
What? Nothing.
I mind my business.
Perfect angel.
I don't really go online and like interact with anyone.
No, Lisa.
Podcast.
What? I'll give you your answer, Lisa. Someone.
Harry Potter. Someone or something.
Says that. Yeah. It's definitely Harry Potter related. Someone gets on a Facebook rant about how Voldemort is the truth.
Is the truth.
Yeah. Make America.
What does that even mean?
Make America a Avada Kedavra again.
There's much worse out there than that. I still don't care.
Really? Okay.
What do I care?
So you're People just, you're not on either side of this. So,
you know, this quarantine / pandemic thing has really desensitized me to a lot of dumb shit that people have said. It just keeps coming out. I'm like, whatever.
Okay.
Just going to stay in my house, do my thing. Y'all can fend for yourselves.
All right. Nate, what about you? What are you going to expose out to the internet?
That's the thing. I don't even have like any like accounts where I even tweet anything or anything engaged in any way at all, like in any forum online.
He just does it in person.
Yeah.
Not anymore. Stupid quarantine.
All right, Nate. Let me give it to you this a different way. You've drank 2 bottles of wine, 6 beers. You have your guitar, and you're on a Google Hangouts with your bros. What are you screaming? What are you screaming at them incoherently at roughly 1 in the morning?
Something about Zach Brown Band.
Okay, fine. You know what?
I think about yellow card. I do. Okay, so this is obviously because this happened. I'm pretty sure yellow card came up multiple times.
The only thing I think I talk crap about is probably country music. That's probably really the only thing I ever talk any crap about to anybody, which is very minimal. Maybe there's a country cult somewhere out there, and then they target me. That could be mine. Sort of cowboy cult. Country cult. It's a reverse hunt. So I would be reverse hunted probably. Or not liking country.
I'm curious about this. Now, Anthony, you're
the cult is called the Hooties. They're called the Hooties.
Oh, there you go. Okay, so I was gonna ask who's the leader of this country cult? I don't know enough country music acts to answer.
They're called the Blowfish. And Hootie is the leader. Oh my gosh. Darius Rucker is the leader of the cult.
I think Toby Keith is the leader of this group.
Toby Keith fans can come at me. God, I hate Toby Keith so much. Okay.
I like Hootie being the leader because I feel like Hootie's like the code word and everyone's trying to find who's Hootie. And Darius Rucker's just in there the whole time, like, I don't know. I ain't Hootie. You know? Like his alter ego. Oh, Jesus. So Toby Keith supporters are all after you.
Oh, man. Yeah. Come at me. God, I hate Toby Keith so much.
Anthony, what about you? What's who are you just going off on online?
Probably Nate. I think I personified like that all country music. I think not only did I listen to it, I just have Hootie and the Blowfish. No, I have Darius Rucker. Sorry, the real.
So what's like country music? So it sounds like you're part of the Blowfish. So you're in the group. Okay, what are the rituals? What do the Blowfish do?
What's like, the ritual of the Blowfish?
Well, yeah, they all hold hands and sing. Only want to be and look each other in the eyes. Say only want to be with you.
Absolutely.
That's what I texted you, Anthony. I said that song "Hold My Hand" is so irresponsible in these times
that you cannot listen.
How can you not be against it? I mean, I don't know.
You can't initiation, socially distance.
The initiation is that a dolphin just harasses you and just beats the shit out of you until you start crying.
That's exactly what the song meant.
I believe so. It's very literal. I can't imagine there's any. All Hootie and the Blowfish songs are very literal.
You know, like fugu is like that poison fish where you have to cook it and cut it just right.
Right.
Right. Or else you die.
Yeah.
If there's some sort of, you know, poisonous blowfish, like drink the Kool-Aid kind of deal, but the blowfish, they end up using that as like their method of killing people.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, Anthony, you can confirm, right? Or maybe you can't talk about it, but.
No, we're not allowed. We don't talk about the Blowfish.
Okay. All right.
No, actually, right. I was in a meeting today and we were talking about, I was about 10 minutes late because the most Texan thing of all time, or the most, I'll just only say Texan, I'll say country because then I want to offend you guys. The most country thing happened. My friend had to drop off my trophy buck that I had the shoulder mount created for. He dropped it off in my driveway and had to figure out how to go get it to bring it inside and clean it off and everything. So I was late to a meeting because I had to go pick up my shoulder, like buck that I had shot like 15 months ago.
Oh my gosh. It's
probably one of the most country things, like country reasons to be late for a meeting.
I don't know. One time I hit a chicken with my car and that made me.
Yeah, that's pretty bad too.
Well, that this devolved into something for sure. I mean, I'm sure I'm just getting into a fight with some wrestling fanatic about something stupid. So that's I don't know. The country.
Who are you against? That's really, you know, the movie's about someone, you know, people were tweeting and saying things kind of against.
I don't know. I'm trying to think of the last thing someone said that really. That I kind of lost my shit about online.
I have that. I know what caused it. And maybe everybody's done this. If you were just get really bored, probably just around now, you just start going through your Facebook feed and just kind of scrolling back and looking at history to wondering what the heck you were saying 5 years ago or 10 years ago.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So I actually did that. And I think, and it was a comment, and all it said was, it was like, who dat? And then it was like the team that beat the Saints. That's all it said. And there was about 15 Saints fans that attacked me. And Mitch was definitely one of those Saints fans that was attacking me. So I just ate it up. It was like my first like introduction to trolling people. It was,
you're right, Anthony. That is exactly my blood pressure just shot up at least 10 points just from you bringing that up. There you go. It's not so much fans. It's like t-shirt fans, you know, like people who don't talk to you like. Yeah, it's people who don't talk to you ever that then come back like when a team they root for or, you know, some school they didn't go to, all of a sudden they win, you know, their team wins and they rub it in your face. Like, I haven't talked to you in 5 years. why is this the moment you're like, oh, let me go talk to, you know, it's yeah, those are the people I'm getting hunted by because I rail on them. I don't know. I feel like I'd be hunting them, honestly.
Yeah, you're definitely hunting them.
Yeah, I'm definitely on the other side of that
one. There's like so many bandwagon fans for anything, any sport, any political thing, any like topic of any kind.
Yeah.
So you are, wow. You get, It's like a, I don't know. You, it's, you have a, you know, list, like the Bill, like Steve Buscemi and Billy Madison. You just have a lipstick list. It's
just huge. I'm glad I called that guy. Yeah,
you have like a lipstick scroll, probably.
Oh. I think you're right. They just released the all decade team or whatever. And then I saw Aaron Rodgers beat out Drew Brees, and I was already ready to start shit about that. So that's, I mean, yeah, it's.
I've already started it. I threw in an idea. That was it. Yeah. Which is like, I'm done. I quit.
Yeah, I'm about to just let y'all handle this episode. I'm going to go get on Facebook real quick, or just go and get on anonymous. You know,
I'm going to go hunt somebody. I thought you were going to say that. Jesus.
Shit. Well, all right. Well, if there's something that you would rail against, if you would go on your burner account and talk shit about, let us know. We're always interested what grinds your gears. You can let us know at TexasPodcastMassacre@gmail.com, TXPodMassacre on Twitter, and TexasPodcastMassacre everywhere else. We've got some, I guess, exciting news. We'll save kind of for the end. So that's a nice little teaser for you. But, you know, a new way that maybe y'all might be able to interact with us coming up soon. So we'll talk about that toward the end. But before that, are you all ready? Are you all set? Let's go get it. The hunt.
Hey! What is happening? What is all of this?
Did you see that article? Every year, these liberal elites kidnap a bunch of normal folks like us and hunt us for sport.
Free speech still exists.
Don't First Amendment me.
It wasn't real. Joking.
There's been a killing spree. You gotta come here right now.
You actually believed we were hunting human beings for sport. But you are.
Opportunity here to teach these people.
They're not people. They're actors.
I'm playing an Arab refugee, but I identify as white. I think that's problematic too, in some way.
You wanted it to be real, so you decided it was.
What kind of sick people would even think of something like that?
White people. We're the worst.
This week's movie of the week, The Hunt. Anthony, as our unsuspecting victim, when you have to explain what this movie is to someone, how do you describe it? What's the elevator pitch for this film?
Oh, I think I got this. This one is definitely, it's Kill Bill meets The Hunger Games with a little dash of racism.
A little dash.
just for flavor.
An Arkansas dash, if you will.
Exactly. Maybe Mississippi.
Look, this movie came straight out of a Paula Deen cookbook. Let's be real.
It's got a lot of butter.
Yes.
Oh my God. Well, we found the name of the episode, Paula Deen cookbook. All right. That was easy.
Yeah. So, Nate, what can you tell us about The Hunt?
Yeah. So, this film, released Friday the 13th, March 13th, 2020, 1 week before basically everything shut down. It was supposed to initially be released September 27th, 2019. It was delayed due to two mass shootings in El Paso and Dayton. And then it was just kind of dropped for a little while. Tight 89-minute runtime. Because of the coronavirus, normally you have to wait 90 days after a movie's theatrical run to get it online, but because of the coronavirus, you can get it right now, and you can rent it. Sounds like Anthony did and enjoyed his purchase, so there you go. The production company behind this is a Blumhouse joint and distributed by Universal. The budget was $14 million. It only made $6.5 million in the box office, which was 1 week's worth. But, you know, who knows how much it'll make on streaming services. Everyone's inside. So maybe it'll do better because of the pandemic than it would have done otherwise. It's a 6.4 on IMDb. Director is Craig Zobel. He directed Compliance. Has anyone seen Compliance?
No.
Oh, the movie's fantastic. Highly recommend it. He directed Z for Zachariah. I'm assuming no one's seen that. Some random episodes of Westworld, Leftovers, American Gods. He's got a HBO show coming out this year called Mayor of Easttown, which is a detective in a small Pennsylvania town investigates a local murder while trying to keep her life from falling apart. So there's that. The co-writer of the movie is Damon Lindelof, who wrote Lost, Mitch's favorite show of all time. He wrote The Leftovers, last year's Watchmen, which was absolutely spectacular. And then he also wrote Prometheus, so downgrade. the main actress is Betty Gilpin. I had actually never seen her before in like anything, but some people apparently love her. She's in Glow. She was in Stuber from last year. She was in this year's Grudge remake. So there's that. I have not seen that yet.
I didn't see it.
She's in a movie coming out called Tomorrow War. Coming out.
I have seen her. I have seen her in Glow. She's really good in Glow.
She go? Okay. People loving her.
Very similar. Like her wrestling persona in Glow is very similar to this character in terms of like the Southern accent and everything, so that was kind of interesting. But she's great, at least in Glow, because that's all I've seen.
Hold on, so in The Hunt, she basically played her character from Glow. Is that what it sounds like?
Sort of, kind of. I mean, I think she got a lot of the Southern Bell cues from it. I mean, so her character in Glow is Liberty Bell, and she's a Southern. Yeah, it's just a whole Southern thing. I mean,
I don't know if you know this, but the Liberty Bell's in Philadelphia.
I know that, Nate. Do the people of Glow know that? I don't know.
Probably not. The other main actress, Hilary Swank, who plays Athena in the film, and Betty Gilpin played Crystal. So Hilary Swank, her horror bona fides, she was in the 1992 classic Buffy the Vampire Slayer. She was in the straight-to-video movie called Sometimes They Come Back Again, which I rented on VHS from a grocery store in my hometown right when it came out when I was 10 years old. And that movie is so terrible. But she was in it. She was a Karate Kid, which she showed off in this film a little bit. She was the next Karate Kid in 1994. She was in Insomnia, Million Dollar Baby, Black Dahlia, Lisa's favorite movie of all time, P.S. I Love You. And she was in the Netflix movie I Am Mother last year. I don't know if you guys caught that one. Lisa, you like P.S. I Love You, right?
Oh, P.S. I Love You? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, with Gerard Butler.
Yeah, right? Okay.
Fantastic movie.
I was expecting you to chime in there. I threw that one in just for you.
I was waiting for you to finish your list.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Yeah. Emma Roberts, titled in this movie as just Yoga Pants.
That's about right.
Yeah, that's about right. Mitch's favorite TV show of all time, Scream Queens. And American Horror Story. So you pick which one, your two favorite TV shows. Scream 4 and Black Coat's Daughter. I'm only going to list part of her movies because she was only in this movie for 13 minutes. And then the last actor I wanted to point out was Ike Barinholtz, whose character name in this movie is called Staten Island. he was in 2018's The Oath. Highly recommend watching that movie. Blockers. Bright. He was in The Disaster Artist as himself, so I have to throw that out. The Neighbors movies and very The Hunt-esque Eastbound and Down TV show. This is probably the only movie where I'll ever read a quote from Donald Trump. So this is what Donald Trump had to say about The Hunt when the trailers were going live in August. this is the first and only time I will probably ever do this. Blah, 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 racist. Okay, so the movie coming out is made in order to inflame and cause chaos. They create their own violence and then try to blame others. They're the true racists and are very bad for our country. racist and country and elite were all capitalized for some reason. So there you go. Donald Trump weighed in on the hunt. Probably never will happen in any other movie we ever do.
At least he did all caps occasionally. That's good.
He threw cap, but he threw caps. The word racist is in caps, and then country is in caps, and elite is in caps, which is earlier in the tweet.
Maybe that's what he was screaming.
Well, no, just the first letter. And he puts elite in double quotes, and then the E in elite is capital, and then the comma is inside the quotes, too. I don't know what's happening. I don't know what's happening. It just became a grammar podcast. I don't know what's going on here. But yeah, that's it. And then, I mean, you know, this came out on Friday the 13th, so it got kind of that horror tinge. Do we consider this a horror film? Is it more of a thriller? What is your guys' take on it?
Is it either?
Is it? That's kind of what I you know, it was, because it was on Friday the 13th, you know, it's from Blumhouse, they're the horror company right now. This doesn't really Blumhouse. Have that many horror. I think Purge is scarier than this in terms of horror.
I think aspects. The Blumhouse intro with that creepy girl is scarier than the movie.
Okay, so, that's fair.
Yeah.
So I'll be honest. When I was looking through this movie, it was just available for download. So I was like, I'm going to check this out. I saw the picture of the movie that just had her face and it just said The Hunt. I looked at who was in it. I noticed Hilary Swank's name, didn't notice anybody else, and read about the first five words of the first sentence. And I was like, okay, I don't actually know what this movie's about. At least seems kind of cool. But it was, I think it was categorized as a horror movie. And that's all I needed to jump into this movie. I was pleasantly surprised. But yeah, you could classify it as horror if you I think I'm going to go with horror.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, as I said, they leaned into the Friday the 13th kind of thing.
It's certainly, in terms of the violence, certainly throws it into horror. It's probably on the it's on the same, whatever you classify Battle Royale as. It's like this, but with humor.
But Battle Royale is, oh man, that's a lot more psychologically damaging than this.
Sure. Yeah, this tries to have a point, but kind of
they
doesn't.
Didn't say cigarettes in Arkansas only cost $6. You fucked up, bitch, in Battle Royale. I'm going to guarantee you on that one.
Nate, don't First Amendment me.
I've been to Arkansas numerous times, but I did not smoke cigarettes, so I can't fact check that one, unfortunately. So, Mitch, you and Anthony, you know, both are from southern Arkansas, a.k.a. northern Louisiana. Did you feel any sort of, when you heard Arkansas, were you, like, excited? Like, oh, okay.
Whoever in their life has heard Arkansas and got excited?
I don't. is that a rhetorical question? There's no answer to it, or what? I don't know.
No one living there ever has.
It's nearby where you guys went to school, right? I mean, it's fairly close, right?
Yeah, that's not too bad. I mean, how far is Little Rock from Ruston, Anthony? Maybe like 3-ish hours.
Yeah, give or take.
Yeah, so it's not.
Where's the state line? I mean, the state line's really close, right?
Like 20 minutes.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. 20 minutes. You know, I thought you guys might be excited. I don't know.
Yeah, that sounds like a hard no. The good parts of Arkansas are where there aren't people. All the Ozarks, everything. Like where the mountains are and all that. That part's good, but it's surrounded by a lot of things.
See anybody? It's great.
Yeah.
The truth.
I stand by.
Hey, my family used to drive from near Chicago down to Austin. We would go through Arkansas, and I had always remembered there was a town called Pocahontas, Arkansas. That was like the highlight of the entire state for me. So I
why was it, that the highlight of the?
Because it was called Pocahontas. I don't know.
like driving through cut and shoot Texas. You just like,
that's exactly. Yes. You know what? We have an ongoing bet. And I haven't brought it up recently, but man, Idaho's terrible. It sounds like you guys are adding Arkansas to the list of states that you just don't care about.
Is that
your pick? My pick's Idaho. Your pick's Arkansas.
And it's sort of there. I think I have extended family that live in El Dorado.
I feel like that's the way you have to say it.
El Dorado or El Dorado?
No, they all say El Dorado.
No.
They all say El Dorado.
No. Lisa, did your head just explode? Yes,
that's how it's said.
That's actually true.
Oh.
Why it's just like there's a town in the Valley of Texas, and it's Edinburgh, but they call it...
Even one more than that. Why is this state not called Arkansas? It's the same.
Why not Arkansas?
Put an AR in it. Arkansas. What?
Arkansas.
So yeah, that makes sense. I mean, there's an Arkadelphia, Nate.
I know. Texarkana, which is like Texas and Arkansas merged into one being.
There's Boonville. There's both a worse Nashville and Jacksonville in the state.
Well, there's Jonesboro, where the school shooting was. So I'm just going to... Do you want to throw that in?
Well, no, I wasn't going to bring that
in. Okay, well, there we go.
Because my sister lived in Fayetteville when she went to Arkansas. Because she went to University of Arkansas.
She might care.
No one knows. She has not been back. I'll put it that way. And Fayetteville... And that was the thing she'd always say. Fayetteville is so far away from everything that's... Arkansas, because it has the Ozarks separated out. So it's on like the top left corner of Arkansas, kind of away from everything else. So it's
not really Arkansas.
That was sort of her point. Was it wasn't really Arkansas.
It sounds like your sister went to the University of Arkansas in the same way that the main character of The Platform went there. It's like, look, I just gotta be here for this amount of time and then I leave and I never come back.
Yeah, basically.
And I get my diploma. Oh my God, it's exactly The Platform. Wow.
I didn't get a degree. Oh, Christ. All right. Well, where do we even start with this movie? Lisa, overall thoughts about The Hunt.
I was shocked because I was pretty sure this movie got canceled. So when we started watching, I was like, wait, this is the movie that they nixed. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, at first I was like, whose side are we on here? And then the more I watched it, I was like, I really don't care. I don't care about either side.
Just kill each other.
They're all assholes. So, whatever. They're literally the worst people. So,
yeah,
there you go.
Was it, so there was a lot of the controversy. Was it kind of what you expected or did you really expect anything with this movie?
I didn't expect anything because I didn't really pay attention to the trailers when they came out. I just heard people getting pissed off because they were using like deplorables and snowflakes and people were like, why are they doing this? So I kind of ignored it.
Yeah. Anthony, you really enjoyed this movie.
Oh, absolutely. I loved it, especially because I had no idea what I was getting into until all of a sudden somebody says, like Nate had quoted him. It's just like, for my birthday, I'm going to eat a whole pie. I'm like, wait a minute, where's this movie going? Me again, thinking this is a horror movie or something similar to like Battle Royale. But no, it went a completely different route. And it was awesome because you're laughing the entire movie about some of the, I mean, it's sometimes it's pretty terrible actors or acting, like the old lady in the gas station. You have to go back and watch it. She, as soon as she gets about to get shot, she throws her hands up in the air and screams looking off in the corner and it gets blasted with a shotgun. It is the greatest thing ever. Like the whole thing, it's a lot of terrible acting, really cool explosions. And it was a good 80 minute distraction from the good old coronavirus, like quarantine. So
favorite joke came from the convenience store when the husband opens the soda and he's like, you poisoned the soda? She's like, no, but that's 54 grams of sugar.
Don't blame me for caring.
I was like, sounds about right.
I was saying, like, the movies, I mean, there's spurts of violence, but I think they were going, like, there's more laughs than scares by far. Right? I mean, is this more of a comedy? Like, I'm trying to, like, this movie's a lot.
I feel like it's kind of like Shaun of the Dead.
But that's a comedy. Yeah, right? That's a comedy horror movie. This is more, I think.
So is this. This was not a horror movie.
A comedy thriller.
By any stretch.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, I don't know. You know, this movie's funny. I think when I was watching it, I just kept asking, why were people all up in arms about this? Like,
it. Oh, no.
The people that were up in arms are the people. That's the whole point. That's the whole satire.
I know.
It's if you're going to get up in arms about this movie, you're one of those people in the movie on either side.
But the thing is, I think a lot of like
real deep, Lisa.
A lot of conservative like websites and stuff were, and obviously the president heard about it probably from Fox News or something, and that and they were probably like, you know, knocking the movie. But really, the hero or the people you feel more connected to in the movie are kind of like, you know, the rednecks, the country people, right? That are like just spouting off stuff online about conspiracies and stuff. Whereas like the elites, like the, you know, the globalists, whatever you can call them, are the bad people. So it was actually like a reverse of what, right? Like people, I don't know why people would be mad at it in that direction, right? Because the, you know, the rich elite people are clearly the bad guys in this movie. Clearly.
Yeah,
that was an interesting.
Yeah, but then they portray
every Republican as a
dumb, you know, hick,
a dumb hick redneck. Yeah. Yeah. So I mean,
they're taking jabs at both sides.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe, but I mean, the overarching villain. So they're pointing out everyone's got flaws. They point that out, but the overarching villains here are the rich people. Clearly, right? I don't. That seems pretty cut and dry to me. Maybe not.
I think they're all terrible people, and I think that was the point.
Oh, okay. I thought they were clearly, you know, obviously.
No, hey, I'm sorry. The guy who thought that they were all crisis actors.
The crisis babies. Yeah. He said they're a crisis babies.
Gary's the good guy in this entire movie.
I don't know about that, but look, Gary's got a podcast. He's talking about, you know, this. I bet this guy had a 17-part series on Jade Helm. Like, I'm guaranteeing. If that guy was a real dude, that would be the case. But just because you're an idiot doesn't mean you should get murdered. So.
A part of me wonders if what takes away from it being more of a horror film is that so many people die so quickly.
I love that. I thought that was great.
The bulk of people, the bulk of people are just like dead early on. Like shooting fish in a barrel, I guess.
Yeah, I think that was kind of, I mean, that was kind of the point, obviously, that they like murdering people. But I mean, yeah, like, you know, Emma Roberts is in this movie for 13 minutes. She gets massively shot. Ike Barinholtz, another guy, Staten Island. So he makes it to the gas station and then he gets straight up murdered. Right.
Yeah.
I didn't think that guy was bad. You know, most of the characters who got murdered, it seemed like, you know, decent people. But yeah, I mean, everyone dies real quick. Kind of liked it. I don't know. I thought that was cool. What about you, Lisa? Is everyone getting murdered in the beginning? I can't see how you possibly say you liked it, but I'll ask you.
Then why are you asking me?
I don't know.
Was there any particular death that you were like, oh shit, or anything kind of stick out of your head from that first opening? Like
the girl that fell in the spikes.
Yeah.
Wait, which
and time? Then they pulled her out and then they blew her up and she fell back in the spikes. I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, what am I watching? She somehow survives all of that. She's like, just shoot me.
Well, yeah, with the arrows. It was just like, he turns around to shoot. He's like, what the hell is this Avatar shit? Takes off running
back, shooting arrows. Yeah, that's the thing that really pulled me out of the movie is that no one seems to care like what's happening. Like no one is fazed. Like the one guy in the beginning, I guess he was like a big game hunter, right? That's why they targeted him, because he was killing kind of endangered animals, right? But
right.
Emma Roberts gets shot right next to him, and he's, you know, holding the gun and shoots back. He runs over, right, and he grabs the lady out of the spikes, steps on a claymore, and gives a look like, oh, well, to the camera, which is ridiculous. Yeah. And then he dies. I mean...
All that's missing was like a trumpet behind.
Exactly. it really did undercut the deaths quite a bit because, you know, you think it's like, oh, what's this Avatar shit? Like, you're getting shot at. And you saw many people die. Like, don't be quipping while you're running and escaping, right?
What are you talking about? That's everybody's dream. If I'm getting shot at, I want to say something that cool as I'm, like, turning around and shooting back. Instead of, like, screaming and crying that I probably would be doing. It's like, I'm going to have something witty.
It's the old Sandlot principle, Nate. Heroes get remembered, but legends never die. You have some really really great quip right when you get blasted. That's going to get remembered forever. You're never going to forget what's this Avatar shit. Like that guy, that guy's the one you remember.
I will probably remember.
I forgot three of the other people that got murdered in
that and Crisis frenzy. Babies. Yeah, Crisis Babies and what's this Avatar shit. Yeah,
I mean,
yeah, those are some
heroes get remembered, but legends never die. That's
I guess.
You need to take a look at the credits. They actually have some really awesome names for some of those people that die in just a few minutes.
Yoga pants.
There was the guy that actually went into the gas station. The guy from Orlando that had like the tattoo on his face. His name was Vanilla Nice.
Vanilla Nice. Yeah, Sturgill Simpson. Sturgill Simpson. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, what's your like fake username that you're hiding behind? If you had like a burner account to talk trash and like these people were, what username are you going with?
Tommy was 69.
I'm not going to follow that. But
yeah, that's
winning right there.
Yeah. Yeah. Done.
Mitch, you're tearing me apart, Lisa. But.
So this movie has a couple. I don't know if there's so much twists. One is certainly more of a twist than the other, but you know, you kind of find out they're not in Arkansas. They're in.
Everyone knows the Croatian flag. I knew the Croatian flag from the jump on that.
You're so cool, Nate.
That was obvious. Come on.
What did y'all think about?
Good job guessing their most important plot point of the whole movie.
Yeah, I was like, oh, Croatia, got it. Okay,
you watched a lot of Fun with Flags from Big Bang Theory, right?
What did y'all think of that piece of it? Like her, them talking to the army folks and the or whatever before the consulate shows up.
I mean, one of the rich people were like, look, if we do this in Croatia, man, we could build a gas station for way cheaper than normal. So, I mean,
I guess pennies on the dollar.
Pennies on the dollar building in Croatia. Is Croatia really that cheap? Not really. Well, it's kind of.
I'm surprised that liberal elites in this movie would want to build a gas station.
No, the fake one.
Oh, the fake one. I got you.
The fake one. Yeah.
It just clicked for me. I was like, oh, that's the one.
You're right. Thank you.
This movie doesn't make a lot of sense.
What happens if an actual Croatian walks into that fake gas station?
This is the worst setup to a joke ever. A Croatian walks into a gas station. Yikes.
I think one of the things, like, it was actually that scene. She's sitting there in the chair talking to the Croatian military, whoever they are, and they ask her, where do you think you are? And she figures it out. Based on I was asleep and it feels like 18 hours and I saw this flag. I mean, other than Nate who watches Fun with Flags, most people have no idea what that was.
I've actually never seen Big Bang Theory.
Missing out. That's been my binge watch for like the last 3 weeks. But her credentials, really, I think when she was talking to the guy from Tears of the Sun, the wannabe Bruce Willis guy, she said, well, like, I guess she claims what her credentials are, which is like, oh, I was in Afghanistan. Like, all right. So for some reason, anybody in the military can usually tell. Like, I can tell when I'm asleep, how it's been for 18 hours. Like, what? How does they never explain really, other than her saying, I was in Afghanistan, what her, like, how she fought like a badass.
She said it sounded like a Slavic language. That's what she.
But yeah, she has like, what, it never really explains right. Like what her credentials are other than I'm in Afghanistan, which pretty much, I mean, everybody in the military ever can pretty much figure all that stuff out. It's pretty obvious. But did they ever, other than that, did they say her credentials or like explain how she's so badass?
She's in the military. And apparently she wasn't, she has someone in her hometown with a similar name to her. That's her credentials. That's it.
She's the next 007. We just don't know.
That was super confusing when she's like, you have the wrong person. I was like, but your picture was with the name. So did they look up the screen, like the username, and then get the, and then try and find the picture?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think they tied something from the other lady to her, and then they had the pictures all set up, I think.
Right. So it wasn't like she was doing a video podcast and they saw her face.
No.
All they had was the username. They looked up the name Chastity or whatever her name was, and then they got Crystal. The wrong person.
Wow, look at that. Just snowball. Liberal elite Lisa. Chastity Crystal.
Seriously? One of you can never remember the name of a character in a movie. I'm supposed to remember that.
And Sparkle or something.
Yeah, exactly. Candy. that was interesting. Yeah, I don't know. So that's the twist, right? Mentioning that she wasn't the person who had posted the things that they targeted her for.
Well, I was going to say the fact that that like you believe the Manor Gate, the hunt's like this whole thing that's been happening forever, and then it turns out that no, they were just joking. But then
that was so stupid. They were like, no, it's not real, but you made it real. Wait, what?
Well, no, they got fired for joking about it. So they're like, okay, fine, then we'll do it then. If you're going to be all conspiracy, you know, and this is why, you know, like certain conspiracy theories are like less dangerous than others. Like if you believe the Earth's flat, the Earth's not just going to become flat out of spite, right? So at least we got that going for us. Mm-hmm. Whereas this one, there was like, oh, you think that we're hunting people? Well, and we were joked about it. We got fired. Well, now we'll just go hunt people. Like, oh shit. That's like the scene in Batman where he's asking like, oh, so you think that Bruce Wayne gets in a costume and beats criminals to a pulp and has all this technology. Oh, and that's who you're going to blackmail? Like it was that.
Sorry. That is one of the best lines delivered by an incredible actor from that movie. I love that part.
Yeah. And that's essentially what just don't post online. I mean, not going to blame the victim here because that would be bad, but yeah.
Well, but I mean, yeah. What difference is it going to make? I don't.
Well, they lost their job, so you're like, well, it's kind of a revenge deal, and they're like, all right, who are we going to revenge on?
I guess so.
And then they pick out, you know, there's some sort of.
But maybe also don't text really horrible jokes to each other.
The problem is if you're trying to make this like, you know, there are plenty of revenge horror films, but typically you're already, you know, sort of behind the people trying to get the revenge from the beginning. You know, like even like Old Boy, you're kind of behind them for most of it.
When Hillary Swank lost her cushy job, I felt so bad. Not really. yeah, not even.
Right. So, yeah, it's kind of weird in that regard. But yeah, now I'll say this, the final fight scene, I'd put it next to just about any of the Kill Bill fight scenes. It was really well choreographed.
And I think
really
Karate good. Kid coming out from Hillary Swank. She was like 25 years ago. She still had the moves.
She sweeps the leg.
Is Hillary Swank what one in three or one in two in movie fights? I mean,
she's a national treasure.
Million Dollar Baby.
I love.
Yeah, Hillary she lost Swank. That one.
Yeah, aww. She won. She won in the movie before that.
Did she win an award for Million Dollar Baby?
Yeah, she won an Oscar.
She's a winner still.
She'll get an Oscar for this one, I'm sure.
She was a winner because she was in a romantic movie with Gerard Butler, even though I guess he died. But for in Lisa's view, right? I'm assuming.
Wait, what? Say that again.
I mean, she's a winner because of Million Dollar Baby. But she's also a winner because she got to be with Gerard Butler. Yes, I love you.
Hey, did you just assume Lisa would like that because she's a woman?
No, I just.
He always assumes that. Like,
she said she liked the movie.
Did you gender that?
She said she liked the movie earlier in the podcast.
When? I want proof.
Roll the tape.
Run the tape. Yeah, run the tape.
Jesus.
Okay, that's our new drop for the debate question. It's just going to be Lisa saying, "P.S. I love you." Oh, yeah, I love that movie. That's great. Throw that in. Yeah, no, but I mean, yeah, Hilary Swank is... Is she too good of an actress to be in this movie? Like, I was trying to, like... what happened to Hilary Swank?
Like, well, how much was the budget for this movie?
Is she going to renovate her beach house?
Like 14 or 15 million, I think.
14 million.
And she was like 12 of that. So
no, she was like 0.5 of that or something, maybe.
Well, she probably needed a new pool, like a second pool.
That's what I'm saying. Is there some sort of like, I've been doing a lot of unfortunate fixes to my house. So maybe she had some sort of rats in the attic situation. It's like, I guess I gotta do the hunt now. Okay, fine. She's like, well, I need to work on my cardio, so I'll just do the fight. I'll practice for the fight scene. It's kind of like getting in shape, and then yeah, whatever. Who knows?
Yeah, maybe part of it was like it's $12 million, and she gets to keep that Gruyere and grilled cheese that she makes on the set. You know?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I some other things I liked. Animal Farm. I love Animal Farm. It's a great
book. I love that. That's the thing. They're like,
I love the references. That's great.
Unfortunately, you've read Animal Farm. I've read Animal Farm.
You can read them.
We really are more alike than we think, huh?
And Animal Farm is a short ass book.
That
it's
is
not like it's even long.
Yeah, everyone has to read it from fucking school. Of course they've read it. I don't understand. Like that's on par with Justice League or whatever, Batman vs Superman, where it's like, Martha, how do you know that name? You know, like what?
I don't know if it's that. If you said To Kill a Mockingbird, okay,
it came off like you also read Animal Farm. Like that's what you're bonding over.
I know. It was Martha-esque, but it was a little more of a deep cut than Martha. Martha's one of the more common names. I don't know, but I did like that. Orwell was the name of the pig. So there's that. DoesThePigDie.com for this is 100% yes. So,
I'm assuming there's multiple pigs, or is that the same pig in a different outfit? I don't know. It looked like there were two different pigs.
Okay, you said there was like a stunt double pig.
I mean, well, no,
there's union rules. They can't use the same pig for the whole movie. Okay, it was twin pigs.
Maybe that's right.
The body count for this movie is 22. All of the people who are hunted, except one, and all of the huntees all die. And then 23 if you count the pig. So there's 23 kills. Pretty large body count. The setup, the thing I didn't really like is the setup of this. It was Hunger Games, right? The setup was Hunger Games. So like you go in the middle, you get weapons, and then you try to like hide. Right. But like, it was kind of just not even, I don't even know how to explain this. They set up too many traps in the beginning. So like, it didn't even make sense to even hunt them. Like if you're going to have like a spike pit and like claymores everywhere and not even shoot them, like what's the point of even having the hunt?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like did that make no sense to anyone else? Like what did the hunters get out of someone falling in the spike pit? Like what did they get out of that?
I mean,
they just wanted these people to die. Did they really care how?
Yeah, but then they could have just killed them. You know, they spent all the time to kidnap them, and then someone just steps on a claymore. I mean, steps on a mine. That seemed just unnecessary.
Or who is it? Right at the beginning, I guess the main character. If you read right at the very beginning of the whole, that first woman wakes up, and as soon as she wakes up, she sees the blonde woman standing over a pond, cuts a piece of her hair, and puts it on a leaf. I guess. I don't know the science, but I guess that's pointing in a certain direction. I don't know, but
I thought it was to leave DNA behind.
Nobody knows. It didn't make any sense. I was like, is that giving you true?
I guess it was to show her she was a survivalist.
He's got a condition called magnetic hair.
What is it going to tell you? It's like north is where the guns are not. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what that was. I don't know what that was. I like how, when the guy pulled the the clip out of the gun, and I was like, there's a bullet in the chamber. You're the biggest. How are you guys shooting guns at people and don't know? This is basic 101. This is how, like, every person has shot themselves in their home ever. Like, come on. There's a you would check if there's a bullet in the chamber. There was some stuff like that, I think, where they were just like, oh, yeah, these people are just kind of play shooting, where the other people actually, like, do this all the time. They're getting, you know, deer heads mounted and whatnot, like Anthony, so that they, you know, they know what they're doing. I think was what I was trying to say. But there was some kind of, you know, those were some cool details that I did enjoy in there. Did you have a favorite part, Lisa? Yeah. Favorite scene?
Favorite scene.
The fight scene at the end? Did you like that?
No.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, that was kind of cool.
I don't know. I'm not a big fan of fight scenes in general. Typically because when they get to the big fight, it just goes on too long. Like, I don't know. I'm not a fighter. But the most realistic part of that whole fight to me is when they bust through the glass and they're like, okay, let's take a breather. Just a second. I gotta get my breath back. So it's like, okay, I could believe that part. Because honestly, every time I see a fight like that, I put myself in it. I'm lasting 20 seconds, maybe. I'm not fighting for 10 minutes like they were, you know? I did like her save of the wine bottle, though.
Yeah, that was cool.
When she, like, skidded across the floor, she's like, oh, hell no!
Yeah, that was cool. Yeah.
Okay. I thought we lost you guys. No, yeah. I like that part.
To my brain. Yeah.
Yeah. No. And I like the very end when she's on the plane drinking the champagne. And she's like, oh, yeah, this shit's good.
Yeah. So she steals her clothes. So Athena's quote unquote manor is like a 3-bedroom house. It's a pretty big house, but I wouldn't consider it a manor. So then she beats.
So you agree with Athena? It's not a fucking manor.
It didn't look like a manor. No, it looked like oh, this is a good sized house. It didn't look like a manor. I mean, come on.
It had a gate. I get that's the defining characteristic, right? It's got a gate. Yeah,
no, I used to remember that a gate, and that was not a manor.
She had like an enclosed patio solarium thing. I don't know. It was something.
Manor-esque.
But can I say this?
This is going to be the debate between cellar and basement now.
This is a manor. Can I say one thing? It is absolute bullshit that one woman would walk into another woman's closet and find a dress and shoes that fit her exactly. That's crap.
Yeah, that was the least plausible part of the movie. Like, oh,
that was total crap. I was like, oh, the dress fits her perfectly and the shoes fit her perfectly. Was she fucking Cinderella? No, no, no. That's not happening.
Hilary Swank looked like she weighed about 105 pounds in the movie.
She always has very been skinny. That skinny.
The other lady is not as skinny, which probably helped her with the fighting, to be honest.
Nate!
No, she had like more muscle. Like she was like more built. That helps. That helps.
Okay. But you were this close to calling her fat.
No, not even close. But no, but like she was clearly a different
build. You learned nothing from this movie.
No. Jesus Christ. She's clearly like a different build. So like, that's what I'm saying. Like, that makes no sense that her clothes would fit her. Because they're two different sizes. It's just not even like the same body type or anything. So yeah, that was pretty ridiculous. But
yep.
Yeah, she pulled off the outfit. And then I like how like the people look, like, circling it back to a positive here. And then she goes on the plane. And
she's like, damn like, good, though. So it's all fine.
But no, she's like, hey, I killed your boss and I took her clothes and I got awesome champagne. So just fly me wherever I want to go. And they're just like, sure. I'm like, wait, what? Okay, I guess.
Well, she had a loaded gun with her.
It's like the Highlander. Like, if you kill me, you get all of my money and the people I hired to, you know, be on the plane in my house. She just stayed in the house, if anything.
I'm pretty sure if someone walked onto my plane, said, I just killed a bitch and I have a loaded gun, fly this plane, I'd be like, okay, no problem. I'm not fighting back. What's the point? Go home. Like,
okay. But like, couldn't the pilot just like radio in and go, hey, this lady's got a gun as soon as we land, just to, you know, rest her or something?
I suppose the movie ended before that.
Exactly. I suppose, that's why. But we didn't see the part where the pilot takes a break and comes out and has champagne and caviar with them. They're like, ah, this is cool.
Okay, that's how she gets it. So they don't call the cops. She's like, okay, yeah. Yeah,
that's how she got the stewardess. She's like, have you ever had caviar? She's like, I'm not allowed to. She's like, sit down.
So she was being nice, but also an ulterior motive to like, hey, don't mention that I murdered somebody.
Don't bring that up, okay?
Yeah, don't even worry about it.
Between us.
Oh, you know, if you murder someone in another country, I guess it's not like jurisdiction. I mean, there's jurisdiction issues, right?
You don't think she's going to get extradited?
To what, Croatia?
Nobody even knows what that flag looks like. It's fine.
Wow. Yeah. Now, Croatian listeners, I am with you. I just want to throw that. We're going to lose Arkansas downloads. We're going to gain Croatian downloads. waiting for it. But that actually would make sense. I mean, okay, so can there be a sequel to this? No, right? This is a one-off movie.
As long as
there's survivors, there can always be a
But there wasn't an actual like there wasn't an actual really a plot. They kind of like threw the conspiracy together after someone made up a conspiracy about them, right?
No, so I think the next sequel or the sequel to this one's going to be you're gonna have okay. You remember Ron Burgundy where they have the news anchor fights?
Yes.
Yeah, it's gonna be like that, but it's gonna be Fox News versus CNN.
Okay,
like a big battle royale of the left and right media outlets.
That would be interesting.
Like Carlson Tucker's gonna come out with like a mace.
You mean Tucker Carlson?
Whatever.
Carlson, comma Tucker. This is how I talk.
Yeah, exactly. You don't, Nate?
See, I'm thinking it's going to go with like the second Hunger Games where she travels back. She gets back to Mississippi. And obviously, if you're in Mississippi and you killed a bunch of liberals, they're probably going to like parade you around the state and show you off to everybody. I mean, it's Mississippi. Come on. Okay. You lost Croatia or you lost Arkansas, but I'm giving you Mississippi. It's fine.
So, wow. Okay. So now you're saying
now somebody's going to see that on TV and they're going to pull her and all her friends back into it around.
But then you're rooting for them this time. Then they reverse it. So now you're against the Mississippi people.
That's the twist.
Oh my God. That's okay. That's a movie. Yeah. Who's Hillary Swank's sister? So let's say the Hillary Swank sister. Who's an actress who would play Hillary Swank's sister? Who are we? Is Julia Roberts Hillary Swank's sister who goes after people? I would be 100% down for that. No? Anybody?
I don't know. No. It's such a weird out of left field question. I don't know. How old is Hillary Swank? Are we going for a younger sister or an older sister?
It doesn't matter. I don't know.
Okay, hold on.
What about Betty White? Hillary Swank's sister, Betty White.
Oh my gosh.
No. Maybe you go Jennifer Love Hewitt on this one.
Oh.
Of course you would.
How did I miss you with that?
No, I'm just saying.
Oh, my God.
What are you just saying?
Mitch, you could also provide the music for the movie, too.
What are you just saying? You're saying you want to sleep on the couch tonight?
No, I'm just saying she hasn't been in a movie in a while. This would be good.
Half the soundtrack, Jennifer Love Hewitt, half the soundtrack, Cody and the Blue.
Exactly right. I mean, look, Hillary Swank hadn't been in a whole lot recently, and this is her comeback. And Jennifer Love Hewitt's do one as well, I guess.
That's awesome.
Mitch, is this a situation you want to be in quarantine? Is just, you know, in another part of the house on the couch?
I know what you said last podcast.
It's like sleeping in a hotel, right? Like, it's just like, oh, I'm in a new bed tonight.
That didn't help. Yeah. That didn't help at all.
Oh God. All right. Well, look, I think we've talked this one to death. I have to ask, what is your final cut?
Final cut.
Lisa, let's start with you. What are you giving this one?
I don't even know. Gosh. This is not the worst that we've ever seen.
Okay.
Not the best that we've ever seen.
It's not The Suckling. That's for sure.
It's not Strangers 2.
It's not Tourist Trap. Not Thanksgiving.
Right.
I wish it was Tourist Trap.
Ugh. I don't know. What did I give the platform that we just did?
You gave it like a five, six or six? Five.
You gave it a five.
You gave it a five.
Middle of the road.
Where do you put? Yeah.
Is this better or worse than the platform?
Oh.
To you.
I'd give this one a four.
Oh, okay.
4 out of 10.
Okay. All right.
4 out of 10 what?
Spikes.
Okay. There's a lot more than four spikes, but okay.
Let's see. I guess Anthony, as our inspecting victim, what are you giving this one?
Raise the average here, Anthony.
Absolutely. I'm giving this a 9 out of 10.
Wow.
I'm going to give this a 9 out of 10. Why is the sun crying?
Oh yeah.
No, I mean, I would give it a 10 out of 10 if it was longer, if it actually had a little bit more to it, because it was short. A lot of stuff didn't make sense, but I didn't care. It's a great distraction. It's hilarious and a ton of things blow up. That's pretty much all I need in a movie. I mean, who needs a plot? I mean, really, come on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, if you look at it that way, that's probably the best way to look at it. I mean, yeah, if you're looking for a story, you're not watching The Hunt, right? You're watching the one-liners, weird setups and jokes, and then like the spurts of violence and the end fight scene, right? I mean, yeah, those are definitely the highlights for sure. Yeah.
What are you giving this, Nate?
I'm gonna give it 5 out of 10 boxers. Boxer is my favorite character from Animal Farm. So I'm going to give it 5 out of 10. Positives, what I just mentioned. Negatives. So I get the story that they're trying to say, but like, it really doesn't make sense. Like, I feel like they could have done it. Blumhouse already did The Purge, right? So The Purge is almost the reverse. It's like the, evangelical, Christian, conservative, rich people kind of take control of the government. And The Purge, they're going after all the, the people of color and people they don't agree with and all that kind of stuff, right? So this is kind of flipping it a little bit, but when you see all the vitriol that the movie premise had, or had it going against it before it was delayed, it didn't really bite that hard, right? Like, it didn't really lean in. It wasn't like super controversial. Obviously, like, the rich elite people were bad guys. But I was hoping it would have a little sharper edge. It didn't have. So I kind of cut it down. So I got to about a 5.
A 5 what?
5 out of 10 boxers. So boxers.
Oh, boxers. Sorry. Yeah. You said
boxer is the horse in Animal Farm.
Yep. I mean, I'm not far off from you. I'm giving this 6 out of 10 Jennifer Love Hewitts, and the reason being
Jennifer Love Hewitt is not in this movie. Don't give the people
hope. Fair, 6 out of 10 on this one. It's funny, it's enjoyable. I think
it's got good laughs. There's some great laughs in this movie.
Yeah, if you should not be taking anything that's said in this movie seriously. No one should be getting up at arms about anything said in this movie, but I don't know. I can see people getting triggered. So don't get triggered. I found it really funny. I thought the violence, it's pretty violent. Certainly not, I wouldn't call it a horror movie, but definitely more of a dark comedy. Kind of felt a little bit like Death of Smoochie in terms of like comedic tone. If y'all have ever seen that one.
Wow, the John Stewart vehicle, Death to Smoochie. Okay, all right.
Can
we all agree that the main actress, she did a great job?
I think most of the actors in this movie actually did pretty well for what they were trying to go for.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think, I think it was just, you know, how the movie is written, if it matches with what you kind of want to see. Lisa, would you say this is unsuspecting victim friendly or not? Any opinion on that?
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to think of the worst, the most gruesome death is probably the spikes, right? When she gets blown back in there, half blown off.
That or maybe the high heel with the eyeball.
Ooh, yeah, that one's bad too. Yeah, grenade, so there's some the gore.
Grenade, yeah, but the grenade in the pants and the spikes are meant to be funny.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, or they're played more comedically, whereas stiletto to the eye is just like, oh, that is just.
Yeah, when that kill happens, yeah. You're like, oh man, this is gonna get bloody. And then it's more like comedy kills. Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, it depends on your level of gore, but it's definitely more watchable from that perspective than the platform, I would say. That one's more gruesome.
Okay. Well, all right. Well, I think that's going to wrap it up for this week's episode. Nate, tell them where they can find us.
You can email us at texaspodcastmassacre@gmail.com. Tweet at us at TXPodMassacre. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram, Texas Podcast Massacre. Check us on all your podcast platforms. And let us know what you thought about The Hunt. Everyone's staying in. Everyone's watching The Hunt. Everyone's watching Invisible Man. These are kind of the first batch of movies that skip the theater right to digital. So I know a lot of people are watching them. So let us know what you guys think.
All right. Well, as I mentioned earlier, one new thing that we're trying out while we're all sort of stuck in quarantine is we have actually recording this through Discord. Trying that out. We are going to look at potentially doing a live episode here soon. So we may have a kind of a chat open and y'all can maybe hang out with us while we actually record. So we wanted to test some bugs out first before we tried to do that right off the bat. But yeah, keep a lookout on our social media accounts. We'll have more information coming up around that soon. If nothing else, it'll just be another channel just to hang out with us and chat.
Mitch, I don't know why we'd open the text chat. Everyone's just going to be spamming hashtag team lead in the chat. Like, we're not even going to be able to see anything. There's going to be no
problem. Probably not. We're going to need like a Team Lisa channel.
And I appreciate y'all. I really do. Get me through this quarantine.
I'm going to create a Jennifer Love Hewitt like burner account and I'll jump on chat. It'll be fine.
Anthony, I do not appreciate you.
you can just borrow Mitch's. There's no point in creating a new one. Loan you the password.
That's not a burner account. That's a fan club member.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's got presents. It's got blue check mark. It's got everything. Yeah, that is true.
Christ.
You laugh now.
I'm in trouble. All right, well, that's going to wrap it up. Anthony, coming back and hanging out with us. We'll definitely have you back soon.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. It's been fun.
Yep. So I'll wrap it up for all of us here at Texas Podcast Massacre. Thank you so much for tuning in, and just keep telling yourself it's only a movie. Good night.